Will you turn with me this morning to the book of Psalms and the first Psalm? The first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I want us this morning, as we're able, to think of the kind of character which this psalm describes. And it's not something that is remote or distant or separated from us where we are right now today in our society and in our lives, because what this psalm describes is what every one of us looks for and wants out of life. Now, we have the word there, blessed is the man, and perhaps because of that, we just simply move quickly from it into the rest of the psalm. But that very first word is the key to its application to our lives today, because this describes the man who is truly happy, a man who was at peace and who's at rest. Despite all the problems that might break upon his life, he has a foundation and he has a resource and he has a place to go to find strength, counsel, and wisdom to carry him through whatever might be the unexpected or the immense problems that descend upon him in his everyday living. This psalm describes the truly happy man. And that is what the great quest that is always on in our lives, to be truly at rest and at peace. And the only way in which we can know this experience for ourselves, and the only place that we can get it, is by knowing the Lord as our God, to follow him and to trust him. Far from losing out. So often the caricature and the whisper is that if we follow the Lord, then we're going to lose out on so much in life. But here we're told that this, in fact, is the pathway and prescription for true happiness today, as it was in these days long ago. And the why, and the reason why all this is timeless, the reason why all this stands and applies today as it did in these days, is because man hasn't changed. No matter how sophisticated he has become, or however he has developed, or where he has gone or probed, man, you and me, when we're on our own, we are the same today as men were in these days. And equally, God hasn't changed. And the God that the psalmist spoke of and sought for himself, the God that he knew and trusted in and relied on, the God that brought him this true happiness of which he speaks and sets before us, that's the same God that we have today before us. And if we really are looking for that true happiness, then wisdom would dictate and counsels of eternity would direct us to listen carefully to what he says to us and to seek to apply it to our lives. Let me just briefly suggest, as we break down this psalm and as we try to get the skeleton out of it for ourselves, let me try to suggest several thoughts that give us understanding, but also come to challenge us just where we are today. The psalmist tells us, first of all, about his conditions. He is, we are told, blessed. And the way in which it comes, it's a plural word. It tells us that all blessednesses, all happinesses, it is a word that conveys to us that the truly happy man that is described for us here is not happiness measured. It's not happiness that is grudged, but it is a happiness that comes in full measure. It's a happiness that comes to the point where our life is truly overflowing. A happy person is a person whose roots are in the right place. And the condition that he tells us simply is like this. First of all, he tells us what he's not doing. Negatives are always good for us. It's interesting that 9 out of the 10 commandments put things in a negative way. Only honor your father and mother is without that negative element. It's good not only to put things positively, but also to put things negatively. And so he looks at the broad sweep of his life and he says, blessed is the man. Now what kind of man is he talking about? This man that is truly happy, what kind of man is he? He's a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Here is this psalmist describing the everyday conduct. He's describing his lifestyle, his habits, his habit and his delight is not to be found in the ways of wicked people. The way in which conversation, if you just simply to catch a flavor of it today round about us. The aims, the hopes, the principles, if they have any, the practices that people engage in, the things that people do, they don't stand the test of God's truth and God's light. And the psalmist is saying, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with that kind of lifestyle. His conduct is, he does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The way they think is not the way he thinks. There is no point of contact and there is no crossover between him and these other people. The saint and the sinner are so different. The saint, the truly happy person, is now prepared to ask for God's counsel. He takes his problems and all of his difficulties to a higher court. He doesn't go asking for advice from people round about him. But he goes and he asks advice from the one who is above him. His conduct. He simply shuns these kinds of people. He goes on to say, not only does he conduct, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, he doesn't stand in the way of sinners. His company is quite clearly defined for us. He doesn't seek out the company of sinners. There's always in every community, there is always in every village a place where people meet. The lifeboat shed, the post office corner, the square, so many different places, and we can all go back over our history to see it. That's where the men or the community would meet and talk. And what the psalmist is saying here is, the company that he seeks is not that kind of company. He knows the company of the Lord his God. And he goes and he seeks that company for himself. And he is not content with any substitutes. But he wants to know the Lord for himself. He sits not in the seat of the scornful. You can almost imagine the progress that this psalm is describing for us. First of all, there's this regular habits of walking. And then you have the company as he stands still. And then thirdly, you have the conversation as he sits down at rest. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. People today round about him, people today round about us, they will laugh and they will mock at anything that we might mention or speak of or refer to concerning God. There isn't a sympathy for things of God round about us today. There is no seriousness on the souls of men until, that is, their lives are changed or touched in some way where they are made to think seriously about these things. But for the Christian, the man who is truly happy, what are we told of here? We are told of someone. He doesn't go in that kind of company. He goes and he seeks better and higher company. He slips away. And he is alone with his God. Where do we go for rest? Where do we go with our problems? To whom do we speak when there are heavy things upon our souls that we find difficult to speak of, or at least to put into words? That's the kind of situation the psalmist is giving before us here. He doesn't sit in the company of the scornful who mock and laugh at kind of concern that he's now carrying in his soul. The truly happy man is the person who slips away and he's alone, a quiet spot with his God. That's what Jesus did himself. You remember the way in which Mark records it for us at the beginning of his gospel, the way, and long time before daybreak, our Lord quietly crept out of the company of his people and he met with his Father. And the way in which he brought that same principle to apply to his own disciples after they came back, he says, come apart, come separate. Enter into your rest. That's the kind of truly happy person. He doesn't walk in these people's company. He doesn't stand and blether and spend the day with them. He doesn't sit and relax amongst them. Well, if he doesn't do that, what does he do? Verse 2 tells us, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Again, so many people think of God's law, so many people think of this book as something narrow, something restrictive, something that's going to hedge you in and stop you from doing things, and it's going to take the joy and the thrill and the spills out of life. So many people think that that's the way the Bible's going to act on your life. That it's going to be a set of rules and regulations that's going to hem you in so that your life is so narrow that it's got no joy or nothing to satisfy. Nothing could be further from the truth. Here is the psalmist. And he's saying to us that his delight is in the law of the Lord. And what is it that makes it a delight to him? It's because he knows, first and foremost, the God of this word. He knows the Lord for himself. He knows his grace. He knows his mercy. He knows his blessings. He knows what the Lord has done for his soul and the blessings the Lord has given to him. He knows mercy, forgiveness. He knows the riches of God's full hand coming upon his life every day. And because he now knows God in that way, he wants to know more of him. And where does he go to find out more about him? He goes to this book, where God has revealed himself to us. His delight is in the Lord and in the law of the Word or the Bible of his God. Not only does he delight in it, but we also told, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. People today, we've said it already, we know it, people today don't retain or keep in their mind any kind of thought of God. God to them is someone who restricts and who spoils. And therefore people want to expel and exclude any thought of God. And they want to throw off any kind of restriction of God, because they say that once we're free from God, our life will truly be satisfying. Well, the psalmist here and every Christian in experience can testify to exactly the opposite. Life is only full and satisfying when we follow God and think of what he says. When we begin to give place in our thinking and in our mind to the things that are important and urgent that he shares with and speaks of to us. When we begin to meditate, when God's word begins to stick with us. Many's a sermon we've been here. Many's a time we've heard a service. And you've heard it. And come 12 or quarter past 12, we're out in the street. Come 1 o'clock. And 1 o'clock, might not even be able to tell what the minister's text was about. Or even what the structure of the sermon was about. We can so quickly forget it and let it pass through our lives. But what a difference the truly happy man. He lays hold of what God has given him. And he holds it tight, not just simply in this hour or so that we're together, but in the afternoon and in evening times and in the days to come. Just in a quiet moment, we might run over again what God said and shared with us. Some little point that was made to our soul. Some little illustration that hit us hard. Something we never thought about, but suddenly it stuck in our soul. Here is the psalmist, and he is meditating on God's word. And notice what he's saying here. He's doing it day and night. It's a simple way of telling us that he's always doing it. Turning it around. Squeezing God's word. Looking in different windows. Looking at different aspects, different applications of it. But always squeezing it to get something sweet out of it for the soul. Day and night. Not just simply today, but the rest of the days of the week. And yes, the night times also. This is the person who is truly happy, who knows the Lord, and who organizes and disciplines his life, as these verses tell us. We read there in the book of Joshua the way in which the great responsibility of leadership came upon him, and the way in which he was called on to take the place of Moses. and lead the people. And what was it that was impressed upon him? What was it that was repeated for him time and time and time again? Stick to the word. Don't step out of it that way. And don't step out of it that way. Turn not to the right nor to the left. But always think of it. Always meditate on it. Go to it for counsel. Go to your Lord and delight in his word. And then you will enjoy success. Then you will be truly happy. When you know not only God's word, but more especially when you know the God of that word. And Joshua did. And the psalmist did. And do we. Yes. Truly happy person. What else does he go on to say in this psalm? Quickly. Look at the consequences of it all. What is it that is the outcome and the result if this is the kind of lifestyle the psalmist had? Well, he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. There in the desert. There in the desert, there was so little sap, there was so little water to sustain. The blast of the wind would dry up anything so quickly. And yet you could see a tree flourishing because its roots were going deep down to find the water that would sustain it in such harsh environments and cultures. And a truly happy man is a man who is truly happy, not just simply in church, not just simply amongst God's people. The Christian is a man who is truly happy 24/7. Why? Because no matter what life might hold tomorrow, no matter what problems we've got to cope with, no matter what suddenly will come round the corner of life and hit us in the face, we're able to cope because we're like a tree with our roots down into God and his strength and his wisdom and his power. So that in the blasting wind of modern society, today, when there is so little encouragement for Christian things, today, when there is so much of the spiritual oasis around us, when nobody thinks twice of what God is saying, in that kind of environment and atmosphere, you find there is a life blooming and growing. And the leaf of this tree, we see it in these days, the way in which when the winds come and the nights draw in, the leaves are shed, but not on this tree. Bring us forth its fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. What a tremendous consequence. We've already seen the way in which Joshua was given that assurance of prosperity, only and contingent upon his obedience to God's word. But here we are also told of being fruitful in due season. That means in each individual variation of life. Each life, all of our lives, have different seasons. We all have different problems that come on us. There might be times and there might be spells when we're going through the doldrums. There might be times and spells when we're joyful and rejoicing. There might be times and spells when we've got to cope with pressures and wave after wave after wave seems to be knocking us flat. You can all fill in the details the different variations in circumstances. But again, what we're told here is that in due season, it doesn't matter what comes our way, and it comes to every one of us. But what we're told here is that truly happy man, the person who knows God and who relies on God, that person has the resource to cope with whatever life throws. Faith, trust in the day of trial. Patience when time of suffering comes. Joy when prosperity comes. When the dark clouds break on the horizon. Oh yes, even then, he is able to go to the high tower, to hide in the cleft of the rock. He is able to take refuge under the wings of Almighty God, the truly happy man. Like a tree bringing forth fruit in its season. But it doesn't stop there even, the psalm. Because it then goes on to describe, and especially to describe by contrast, the ungodly person. All the time we've been looking at the truly happy man, and the person who has these blessings, and the kind of life that that person now lives. But what about others? What about others who don't know God? What's the cost? What are the consequences for them? Well, the psalmist doesn't leave us in any doubt. The psalmist tells us, and he tells us plainly and simply what the outcome is of the path we're on. And he uses this simple illustration of chaff. Chaff, the outer casing of any of the crops that the seed or the ear comes out of. And whenever you want to separate it, you would go on the evening of the harvest day, find a little rock, which would have a gentle, warm breeze coming past it. And you would gather there all of the harvest of the day, and you would gently throw it in the air. And the seed, being heavy, would fall straight down. But all the rest that was dry, weightless almost, would gently drift downwind, and you'd get a separation. And what the psalmist is saying is that the ungodly are like the chaff. Rootless, weightless, separate. When the wind blows, there is nothing of substance left after the sifting by God. God's breath comes through the whole of our life. The wind from God probes down into the depth of every department of life. And a separation and a sifting takes place. And the fearful conclusion that is reached is there's nothing left. You look for a little pile of grain. You're looking for something substantial out of this process. But there's nothing. The rock is still empty. There's a big tail of chaff. There's a big tail of dried, rootless rubbish. But there's nothing substantial. Nothing substantial left there. And that's only the start. They're like the chaff which wind drives through and fro. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. We are removed from this place only to appear somewhere else. We have no confidence. We cannot stand in the place of judgment. When God begins to look into our lives and judge us, we don't have an explanation. We don't have an excuse. We don't have anything to say that will stand the scrutiny, the judgment of God. We're reduced to silence. We cannot stand in judgment. And sinners will not be in the congregation of the righteous. There will be no confusion between the wheat and the chaff. There will be a separation. That's what the psalmist is telling us. We're told in scripture that there is a time to come. A time to come when the Lord returns. And all men will be gathered together, and there will be a division takes place that will be plain and simple for all to see. There will be those on one side and those on another. And the question is, which side will we be on? There will be the wheat and there will be the tares. The question the psalmist leaves before us, do we have anything substantial? Do we have anything of substance? Do we have a faith and a trust in God that will take us through all the ramifications and problems of life? Do we have a faith and a trust and a reliance on God, able to cope with all that is thrown at us, even death itself, and that will hold us up and give us strength for that great meeting thereafter? Yes, the truly happy man is the person who has that hope and confidence. And the last verse brings it all home to us. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. God knows the path that his people have to take. God knows what is before them. He identifies with them and he cares for them. There is nothing like the tenderness of God for his people. Nobody pities like God pities. He loves with an everlasting love. And he deals mercifully with all who trust in Jesus Christ, his Son. A truly happy man. There is only two ways, the wheat or the tares. There is only the broad road or the narrow road. Which road are we on? What type of characters are we? Where will we be? Well, that question can in part be answered now. What kind of person are we this day? Are we like this psalmist? Do we know God for ourselves? And do we rely upon him and trust in him? This and this alone is the way of happiness today. Blessing. All happiness in full measure pressed down and running over. That's the gift God gives to those who trust him and who follow him. So the challenge is simply, if we're looking for that happiness, if we're looking for that blessing in full measure, the best way, in fact, the only way we can obtain it is in the counsel, wisdom, guidance that this man gives us here, delighting in our God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we indeed bless thy name for the way in which thou hast dealt with us this morning, for health and strength and measure to every one of us. And we pray, Lord, that as we have that ability to think and reflect and to retain, as we have heard thy voice speaking to us, so, Lord, may we remember what we have listened to, and may we think upon it when we're on our own and alone. And Lord, in these moments, may we have light and understanding from thyself. And may there come to us then the great overtures of mercy and grace in Christ. And may we know him as the comfort and consolation of our souls. Lord, deal with us in thy mercy and grace.